claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Recording in progress.
Well, this is your host, Jim Fetzer, and I'm hoping to be joined shortly by my guest today, Lori Price, who's a simply brilliant commentator. So my proposal would be to share the stories with Lori and the expectation that she would join. Meanwhile, let me begin. Freedom Convoy protesters are about to get arrested en masse. There's no real serious doubt about it. The notice is an escalation of law enforcement efforts as a protest against vaccine mandates and social restrictions enters its 20th day. The move comes after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked emergency powers this week aimed at ending the demonstrations. Earlier in the day, we noticed 13 demonstrators involved in a CUDIS blockade were arrested. However, today's order is officially a warning of mass arrest. This has happened in the past under a very different circumstances in 1914, 1939, 1970 even. But those were all military or extreme situations. In 2022, it's really just a peaceful protest in Ottawa that the government doesn't like. Trudeau's order aimed at part at cutting off funds, the protesters have a wider scope than previously reported, forcing portfolio managers and security firms to take a harder look at who they're doing business with. I think this caught everyone off guard last night when it was released at Purpose Investment Incorporated CIO Greg Taylor on Bloomberg TV. There are a lot of questions right now in figuring out who we're targeting and what we have to do. The new rules make demands of a broad list of entities, including banks, investment firms, credit unions, loan companies, security dealers, fundraising platforms, insurance companies, fraternal benefit societies. They must determine whether they're in possession or control of property of a person who's attending an illegal protest or providing supplies to demonstrators, according to orders published by the government late Tuesday night. If they find such a person in their customer list, they must freeze their accounts and report it to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or Canada's Intelligence Service, the regulations say. Any suspicious transaction must also be reported to the country's anti-money laundering agency, known as FinTrack. This all appears to me completely in violation of the Charter of Canada, but there it is. Meanwhile, Premier Brian Peckford emailed this morning an update. He wrote, Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, meeting behind the scenes with members of Parliament, lots going on. Trudeau may be replaced. What that means is he's the last living person who was involved in composing the Charter, of which he authored several segments. We do all peacefully and civilly and legally as per proper procedure. In my opinion, Trudeau, from what I know, will be replaced in his party. He has damaged the Liberal Party and Canadians, trampled. I would add, this has been embarrassing for Canada in the eyes of the world to appear when it's such a civilized country to have a tyrant, a virtual dictator in Parliament, who's grossly, egregiously violating the charter by all of his mandates and dictates. Continuing, Dr. Paul Alexander writes, I call on all Canadians to go to Ottawa now and exercise your right to peacefully protest. Make no effort to cause harm or destroy anything. Please follow the laws and work with the police fully. But now is the time to not sit on your couch and armchair this. Now is the time to stand up. Your life came to this moment, all of it. It is that grave and transformational. You are fighting for the very heart of Canada. Now from Premier Pitford, and let me mention, 7 of the 10 Canadian provinces have rescinded their mandates about the vax and COVID and masks, 7 out of 10. Wow. 7 provinces opposed Trudeau's undemocratic emergency act. Take that, Justin Trudeau. Take that, federal government. Take that, federal Liberal Party. The situation is almost equal to what you need for a constitutional change. 7 provinces and 50% of the population. The opposition to the Undemocratic Emergency Act is 7 provinces and 48% of the population. Justin Trudeau, even your dad agreed to 7 provinces and 50% of the population. British Columbia, Ontario, and Newfoundland and Labrador, shame on you, shame on you. Now, Justin, remove that Emergency Act. Update. Under the order, Canadians continue to be allowed to come to Ottawa with their children if they choose to engage in peaceful, lawful protest. The order only restricts people from coming to Ottawa with intention to engage in violence, lock critical infrastructure, or to disrupt trade. Former Royal Canadian Mounted Police Officer Daniel Bulford said at a press conference on February 16th, issued under the Emergency Act, the proclamation defines an emergency in several scenarios, including blockades being carried out in conjunction with activities that are directed toward or in support of the threat or use of acts of serious violence against persons or property, including critical infrastructure for the purpose of achieving a political or ideological objective within Canada. Meanwhile, Canadians peacefully asked for their freedom back. They got martial law. This was never about a virus. It was about control. Dr. Jordan Peterson writes, restoring confidence in our institutions, seizing bank accounts, defining protests as insurrection, equating crowdfunding with terrorism, subsidizing a legacy media state mouthpieces, violating the charter, running away from the Capitol, lying about why invoking martial law. All of these are actions by this despicable prime minister. Meanwhile, they are bringing in a sound wave amplification equipment that is very, very serious, that can damage the ears, that can cause disorientation, it can do permanent neurological damage. Soundwave ammunition is amplified via 5G. And people who called out the new technology were ridiculed as conspiracy theorists. Here you have several mulling around where you see Christ still attached to the cross lying on the ground and various of the comments from those observing. I have a family to feed. Another. He didn't do what they told him. Another, I have to think of my future. Another, if I don't do this, I'll get fired. Another, my boss told me to. Another, I'm just following orders. Think about it. Meanwhile, here's some health impacts of crowd control weapons, acoustical weapons, also known as long-range acoustical devices and sound cannons, are devices that deliver very loud sounds over long distances. This technology is used for crowd control purposes by emitting loud and painful levels of noise that may lead to significant harms to the ears, potentially causing hearing loss. Serious questions remain about the safety and efficacy of acoustical weapons in crowd control contexts. History. Sound amplifiers have been used for centuries, but this technology was weaponized for crowd control purposes in the early 1990s. Specialty devices that are able to project loud sounds over very long range were first used by the U.S. military in Iraq in 2004. Since the 1990s, the U.S. military and private companies have also researched infrasonic devices, which could have effects at very low frequencies that might not even be heard by the human ear. Now, here, wonderful statement from Pat King.
If you wouldn't mind, go ahead and look up the G7 summit that was here in Ottawa. If you remember those times, at the G7 summit that was here in Ottawa, logistics was a nightmare. They held that for a week. People flipped cars and rioted and burned cars and stuff. They were going insane over the G7 summit. And the Emergency Act was never invoked. Ever. Not once. And actually, the only person that was ever charged in it was a police officer for excessive force. Oh, mind you, Ottawa police officer for excessive force. Ladies and gentlemen, we have riots in Montreal over a hockey game that flipped cars, attacked people, beat people up, smashed business windows, everything. No Emergencies Act ever implemented. Now, we've been parked outside the Prime Minister's office and the Privy Council for over 3 weeks now. Right? Two and a half weeks we've been parked outside the Privy Council's office and Justin Trudeau's office. We've been parked outside the House of Commons. We've been parked outside the Supreme Court, the National Defense, across the street from the RCMP. We're parked in front of some very strategic positions. They all still have their windows, and actually, some have flowers on their steps. Statues have flowers. To the RCMP officers and OPP officers that are out there right now that are watching my live feed, remember that. Because I know what you guys are planning. And I know about the OPP officers that are going on orders. I know about how the specific piece of equipment that's flying into CFB Trenton that's being delivered this morning. Like that one, didn't you, Trudeau? Oh boy. Didn't like that one. They just like tried to block me and kick me out. You gotta understand, guys, when we do this peacefully, it scares the shit out of them.
Let's go.
When you do this with love in your heart and passion and compassion.
Let's go.
It scares the shit out of them.
Let's go.
But if you come at this with violence, and you flip cars, and you roll, light cars on fire, and you smash windows, well, they just sit back and laugh. That's the upside-down world we live in. That being said, guys, morning report right now is this. OPP, you got some maneuvers on the go, I hear. We worked with you very well all the way across Ontario. And you guys were very, compensating with everything that we did. You guys were very nice, jovial, you guys were very well-rounded, helpful. Some of you liked just being a glorified lamppost on the street or traffic directing. OPP, I'm requesting you to stand down from your current orders. The Canadian people are asking you to stand down. To the RCMP officers, we're asking you from the bottom of our hearts, from peace-loving people, stand down from your current orders. Ottawa Police Services, we know something's being delivered today, and we know it's coming for you guys to use against us. It's called an LRAD machine. If anybody wants to know, an LRAD machine is a sonic boom generator that will scramble your guts and blow your ears out by frequency waves. Yes, we know all about it. And yes, we know what it's for. Ladies and gentlemen, all the men and women of the police forces across Ontario and Canada, we're asking you right now to stand down from your following orders. You do not have a duty against with this Prime Minister. You do not have a duty to follow with his order, even though it hasn't been passed yet. And you must remember that. You cannot act on an order that has not been passed yet. So you want to think about that. It's scare tactics, and you guys are going to act unlawfully because these orders have not been done yet. So now, for the next couple days, we know what's going to happen. We know what you're going to try and do. We know you're going to do it in the middle of the night. And we know that the officers involved have a conscience. Well, I'm speaking to that conscience. I'm speaking to each and every one of you right now in the uniform. Back off. Stand down. Put your badge on the ground. Turn it in. And stand with the people.
Oh!
We have been asking for a long time now for our men and women of our police forces to do the right thing. Now is the time for you to do the right thing. We understand that you're just following orders, but when this comes to an end, just following orders is not going to be a good legal defense. Just following orders is not going to be your saving grace while you're standing on the other side of that witness box. You have a duty to protect the Canadian citizens, and that duty is what you signed up for. You signed up to protect people. My request to you is protect us. Do not bring harm onto us. We are asking from the bottom of our hearts with all sincerity. We are standing up for you. We are standing up so you can protect the laws that were granted to us by the men and women who died in our Canadian Armed Forces to give us the rights that we have these days. So this is my message, my only message today. Police officers, RCMP, Ottawa Police, and OPP, stand down.
Let me just say, I think that the truckers are fortunate to have a leader of the caliber of Pat King. He's extremely intelligent, thoughtful, disciplined, comfortable with himself, understands what he's doing. And the crucial points he's making in this recording, which was released 2 days ago, is that under the Emergencies Act, the actions taken by the Prime Minister must be approved by the Parliament of Canada. And from what I understand of the history of his becoming PM, he was the leader of a party with only 33%. Support, which meant for him to become the Prime Minister, he had to form a coalition with other parties. Now, I've had reports, and I'm sure the number is greater now, that 4 members of his party have defected over the mandates. I personally believe that efforts are taking place behind the scene to have a no-confidence vote and remove him as Prime Minister. Perhaps when Lori joins us, she'll have an update on that question and can tell us more. But in the meanwhile, I'm just tremendously impressed with this guy. I would add, a couple of the leaders have been reported to have been arrested. One, a fellow who was on Tucker Carlson the other night, I watched him speak. He was very heartfelt and sincere, or all of these other truckers who are very down-to-earth people, very ordinary citizens, but have courage far beyond the norm to speak out and to speak up in the face of illegal actions by their own government, which I admire beyond words. Pat King has, to my knowledge, not been arrested. Meanwhile, a reporter has tracked down Hillary Clinton and asked her straight to her face if she paid to spy on Trump. The recent revelations of the Durham report have Hillary's camp scrambling. Why? Because the American people finally have substantial evidence to suggest she spied on former President Trump prior to the 2016 election. Now Hillary has even been hounded by reporters. A video posted at Twitter Tuesday shows a reporter from the Daily Mail, which of course is a UK publication. We don't see a lot of American journalists who have this kind of integrity and guts, asking the former First Lady and Secretary of State if the allegations were true. Hillary, Laura Collins, Daily Mail, did you pay to spy on the Trump campaign, she asked. When are you going to comment on the spying allegations, Hillary? Did you pay to have him spied on? Hillary had no answers. All she had to offer was an ineffectual wave. In other words, she turned her back on the reporter and waved as she was moving away. This, of course, makes perfect sense. If the answer had been no, she would have affirmed it emphatically. But because the answer is yes, she cannot herself concede as much, even in the face of massive evidence compiled by Dora. Not that anyone actually needs a comment from Hillary at this point, after all. The Durham report speaks for itself. After Robert Mueller's nearly two-year-long investigation found Trump's campaign had not colluded with Russia, in October of 2020, then-Attorney General William Barr appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham to investigate the origins of how such fallacious allegations resulted in an FBI investigation. So far in his probe, Durham has indicted three individuals. The first was Michael Sussman, an attorney with ties to both the Clinton campaign and the Democrat Party. The second was Kevin Kleinsmith, a former senior lawyer for the FBI, who was sentenced to 12 months probation in January for falsifying information in order to justify spying on Trump's campaign advisor, Carter Page. Lastly, there's a Democratic operative, Igor Danchenko, who is believed to be the source of the since-discredited Steele dossier, which served as the impetus for the FBI investigation. Look at the classic series of steps going on here. You have a fabricated document you make up with the intention of promoting an investigation. The FBI receives a document and treats it as though it were serious in spite of multiple indications that it's not authentic, and then proceed with a classic smear, in this case, spying on Donald Trump not only as a candidate in Trump Tower, but subsequently as president. More recently, on Friday last, a court filing by Durham revealed that Hillary's campaign had conspired to infiltrate computer servers at Trump Tower and later the White House in order to find a link between Trump and Russia. It doesn't end there either. On Monday, Fox News reported Hillary herself had purportedly approved a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump that would distract the public from her use of a private email server. That plan, according to the report, involved intelligence community officials within the CIA acting on an investigative referral from Hillary herself. The walls are closing in, Hillary. Maybe it's finally time to come clean. Not much of a chance. But I do believe it will have this consequence. An opinion piece that appeared recently in the Boston Herald offered the following line of reasoning. Lucas, Biden's presidency needs a lifeline, and her name could be Hillary. There are three things Joe Biden can do to save his train wreck of a presidency. One, get U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, 82, to retire. Done. Two, nominate Vice President Kamala Harris to take his place. Pending. Three, then name Hillary Clinton, 74, to take Harris's place. The agenda. If Joe is too far gone to seek re-election in 2024, assuming he's still on the job, I add, and not 6 feet under, then Vice President Hillary Clinton would be the Democrat nominee for president. In the meanwhile, Harris would become the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court, and then Democrats would be happy to have the underperforming Harris out of the way. In the event someone gets Biden to sign a letter of resignation or he's removed from office through the 25th Amendment or dies on the job, Hillary as the new vice president would ascend to the presidency without an election. My comment, hell, America accepted blatant election theft. Why not go for the gold? Meanwhile, we have tragic stories about a woman letting a homeless man inside her home so he could shower and then he slit her throat. But let me comment on this Hillary business. I think that the Durham probe and its revelations have effectively torpedoed this agenda. I no longer believe Hillary could be viable. She was a uniquely despicable person, a very bad candidate, ran a terrible campaign, even though 2016 was rigged for Hillary Clinton. The whole matter was overwhelmed. All their efforts to rig were overwhelmed by rural voters whom they were unable to control, who rose up in support of Donald Trump. This time around in 2020, they undertook a far more massive operation to guarantee the Democrat nominee, no matter how incompetent, no matter how unable to carry out the responsibilities of the office, would win.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Lori and I got our wires crossed, but now Mitchell is making an effort to get her on the show, and he'll let me know when she shows. Meanwhile, as I was explaining, in San Francisco and other areas, they're trying to deal with a homeless population by asking citizens to take homeless people into their homes. I think that's going to have a very unwise move in the beginning, and it's going to have a very unenthusiastic reception after reports like this. Police.
Hello.
Oh, Lori, I'm delighted to have you here. Can you turn up your volume just a tad?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I would like it if you could increase your volume a bit, but were you able to hear it, the first part where I was talking about the Canadian truckers?
No, I didn't know, and I did not know we were doing Zoom.
That's okay, Lori. We got you on the phone. That's just fine. Now, do you have any late updates? I have a report of two of the leaders having been arrested, and I played Pat King reporting about this sonic boom weapon, which is even more devastating than ones that have been used in the past. They know it's coming. What are your latest about what's going on in Canada?
I have the latest. By the way, are we on right now? And I thank you for inviting
me.
Yeah,
you're live. Yes,
thank
you're
you
live.
Very much. Yes, I have the arrest of the two leaders. Also, this you may have already covered, that the trucker U.S. are providing supplies to the Canadian truckers as well. And of course, there's obviously the U.S. convoy. And the U.S. truckers planning one in support. But something incredible that I'm going to send on my next newsletter is the decree that pets, if you have a pet in your truck, you know, a lot of the truckers brought their pets, they will remove the pet, make the truckers pay for the lodging of the pet for 7 days, and if they don't get the pet in 7 days, comma, meaning if they're in jail or something, or they can't get to the retrieve their pet, the pet will be, I guess, euthanized. I'm not sure if it's killed or sheltered. I'm not sure of that. But they did say
euthanized. No, they'll put them to death. That's euthanization. Absolutely.
Right. They said on Fox euthanization, but I have not seen the story itself, so I don't know if they meant they would turn the pet over to somebody else or kill the pet. But this is something that, can you imagine? I cannot take anymore. My head is going to explode. The hypocrisy of the U.S. government criticizing other, which they deem regimes. Now, we have never gotten accurate news on some of the regimes, in quotes, the U.S. doesn't like. But it's odd that the worst totalitarian regimes are actually the ones the U.S. and the corporate-owned media is fine with, such as Canada. This is worse than if North Korea did this, or what we would say, what under Castro's Cuba, you know, we would be screaming from the roofs that the government is killing pets. But if it's somebody, the U.S., you know, anything to lay down to the God, which is Pfizer, is not criticized.
This is about as cruel and sadistic as it gets, unless they were actually euthanizing children. And don't be mistaken about the meaning, Lori. They're talking about putting them to sleep permanently. Permanently. Yes, yes, yes. And have you heard any? I believe that there are political moves behind the scene to have a vote of no confidence and remove Justin Trudeau as a prime minister. He's a pathetic POS. He has no business being in that office. He's being propped up by the world cabal, especially the Rothschild banking empire, which is making him an immovable object. Unless he's taken out by the Canadian Parliament, he's not going to budge. Meanwhile, you have an irresistible force in the trucker convoy and the massive support they're receiving from the Canadian people and a whole lot of Americans, where they're doing their best to interdict the ability to give them money to keep this going. So we have a collision between an irresistible force and an immovable object. What is your anticipation of the future course of events?
Well, this is unreal. If you heard any of the Project Veritas recent, which, by the way, real journalism banned from Twitter. I mean, it's like a given that it's banned from Twitter. It's not even like, oh, of course it's banned. And you were one of the earlier people, your book on Sandy Hoax being taken down and people have said, oh, the children, so maybe that's okay. And look where we are now, I'm just saying, as an aside. But Project Veritas' latest video with the undercover officer at the FDA, that the Biden plan that they're just not apparently releasing to annoy people right now would be mandatory vax every year of these clot shots, which shows that when you're talking about what do I think will happen, whether Trudeau has perhaps overplayed his hand too quickly and is removed, the ultimate goal is these deadly clot shots across the board. And I saw a graph on how many vaccines per person. A doctor posted this on This was posted on Substack, this image of a doctor making the correlation between why Canada is pushing these vaccines, because they apparently ordered more. They had a graph of all these countries, and Canada was at the top, 11 doses per person. I don't know. I can't verify, you know, who's posting what. You know, things go up, things go down. I don't know. But it seems, you know, why would they put this up? Canada was the number one country for the doses per person, and they have to get rid of these doses probably. I don't know. But even if Trudeau, who I can't stand for so many reasons, mainly the hypocrisy, but because he was criticizing another country in a tweet about human rights like about a year ago, and somebody retweeted that out today. But anyway, if Trudeau is replaced with some other tool of the corporate empire, the big pharma, then they're just going to still keep pushing these shots in Canada. I don't know. But it's possible if he overplayed his hand too early and he's removed and they remove the mandates, that would be nice. But I don't know. I see it towards a social credit scoring system, really tied in with the medical monopoly. I really see that's the only way they could implement a citizen scoring like China. The goal is to get to what China has. That's the goal. That's why there's no huge criticism of China ever, ever, ever in the mainstream media. And Russia's sort of a bulwark against that, and that's why the criticism is on China. But is on Russia. But I'm thinking the goal is to get to a Chinese-style digital social credit score with your vaccine history and all that. And I think that is the goal, all leading toward one thing, the Great Reset. And he's one of the young leaders of the Great Reset, along with that Jacinda Ardern, who's another fascist. I mean, it's all toward the Great Reset. All of this is toward the Great Reset, the Build Back Better, everything. That's how I see it. So even if he's removed, I think they're still going to go forward. But that's just an opinion.
Well, it's an opinion I wanted to hear. Now, I agree, of course, about the overall objective of the Great Reset and so forth. And where it appears to me that Biden, on the 1st of March, in his State of the Union address, is going to relieve a lot of these mandates and restrictions and imitate Boris Johnson, whom in many ways I think stole his thunder, by emancipating the UK from virtually all of these restraints. They're trying to hold it back here in the US so he can have his moment. The whole business with Russia appears to me to be an act of puffery to make it look like standing strong when Russia's had no interest, not the least, in invading Ukraine. They would come to the assistance, I believe, of Russian speakers in the eastern regions of Ukraine.
Right.
And it may be, because Blackwater forces are already there, they're going to commit atrocities in eastern Ukraine, which when the Russians dutifully report to the world what's going on, they're going to claim that it's all fake news because they planted the seed in anticipation of what they know they are going to do themselves. I think Putin is way too smart to fall for any of this, but if they were to actually succeed in initiating a war, I believe it would be very short and very decisive, that Russia would take out the NATO forces along its border in the first few minutes. It would take no time at all, and then there'd be a delay of about 30 minutes to see if the U.S. were to respond. And if the U.S. were to respond by launching a nuclear attack on Russia, then it would be wholesale nuclear war. But because the Russians have far superior military equipment, they have the best anti-ship missiles. They have the best anti-missile missiles. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes. These are all very virtually unstoppable. They go in a corkscrew fashion. I think that they also have the ability, by the way, to neutralize all of our electronics. So we had the USS Donald Cole in the Black or Crimean Sea. That when a Russian bomber approached, they found all of their electronic systems, command and control, fire direction, and so forth, were out of whack. They referred to it subsequently as the USS Donald Duck because it was a sitting duck, and hundreds of sailors got the hell out of the Navy as a consequence because they could see we were not equal to Russia in our military capabilities. So, well, I think the Biden people believe the American public would come rally around him and help to draw him out of the deep well of non-support, where his polls are virtually the worst in American political history. I think it's not going to work that way. That if we get into a war with Russia, it's going to be viewed as more evidence of incompetence by the Biden administration, where the withdrawal from Afghanistan was handled so clumsily, so terribly, and where it now appears that it wasn't just a handful of Americans who were left behind, but 7,000 to 9,000 the American people do not know. I mean, the campaign commercials here against Biden for soaring inflation, open borders, making us energy dependent again, rolling out the red carpet for the illegal aliens, giving them $200 debit cards, compliments of the American taxpayer, letting them fly anywhere they want, giving them brand new Social Security numbers. Lori, all this is going to blow up. The Democrats are going to go down big time in the midterms, which is why they're so desperately trying to find some way to salvage the outcome, which is going to include relieving all these mandates. So Walensky, this completely contemptible head of the CDC, has admitted
that they want to give a reprieve to the American people. Really, they just want to give a reprieve for the midterm before they bring them all back. But I don't think it's going to work that way. I think the Democrats are going to be wiped out. I'm predicting the loss of 100 seats in the House, 3 or 4 Senate seats. Politics are going to be reversed in Washington, D.C. in short order. But I really was soliciting your opinion about the developments in Canada in the short term, which I believe will work out in a different fashion. I believe Trudeau is going to be removed as prime minister, and I do not believe he will be succeeded by someone who pursues the same policies. I mean, think of it, Lori. What sense would it make for Parliament to remove a petty tyrant only to replace him with another? Your thoughts?
Yeah, you said a lot there, a lot. I really wanted to comment on, especially Ukraine. But, yes, I would love to see him out of the – I mean, obviously. I'd love to see Trudeau out of there, and perhaps you're right. But I think the inevitability of the Great Reset – I mean, this could be – some could perceive this whole COVID thing as a dry run for something else that's released. We're still funding the Wuhan lab, and even if it's not that lab – and, yes, it was probably – and the reason why there was no jumping up and down against China is probably DARPA and the U.S. probably started the seeds of this – couldn't do it on U.S. soil because of the Obama decree of it being too dangerous, so they moved it somewhere else. But it's all the same personalities and all the same ultimate goals. So that's why you really don't see the ultimate blame of China. You're right about the in terms of relieving people of the lockdowns, impositions, and the mandates so that they can pick up some points during the midterms. But the problem that I'm seeing, which is something that I kind of haven't read anywhere, but just something I'm thinking here, is this would be, if there was no voter interference without Zuckerbucks and all this other stuff, you would have had the landslide, which really took place with Trump being the victor in 2020. He had 57,000 plus in Butler, Pennsylvania, the day before the election, and Biden had about 20 people. And so, obviously, mathematically, Trump was the overwhelming victor. That's just one state, but this went across the board. Wherever Trump appeared, he had thousands of times percentage more people than Biden. So we know Trump won. It was stolen. But my fear here, something, is if the inevitability of the midterms is a red wave or Republicans winning, there are Republicans that are troublesome and just as bad or worse than some of the Democrats, like Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham. I know Kinzinger isn't running. Maybe Liz Cheney will go down in defeat. I don't know. But my fear is that they let these Republicans, quote, win and steal it from the good, you know, the America First Republicans, the ones who actually care about the people, like Sean Parnell, people like that, and that there is still voter fraud, but it's against the people that really could do a difference in Congress. So that could be a problem, too. As to Trudeau getting out of there, like we say, I'd love to see it, and perhaps they could get somebody good. But, I mean, unless protests all over the world really stop these vaccine mandates, which should have happened early on, perhaps, you know, perhaps there could be a change. Perhaps it could go well. There's a chance. You know, it's not impossible. But I'd love to see Trudeau removed, as you think could happen.
Well, it's absolutely staggering how the entire regulatory system, which Democrats had supported to protect us, the FDA, the CDC, NIH, even the WHO, have all been bought and paid for by the Rothschild banking cartel. They've all been operating in concert to promote the myth of the great pandemic, where we know that, in fact, in 2021, in 2020, when there ought to have been a huge surge because the pandemic was at its peak, there was no increase in the loss of lives, meaning that nobody was dying from it. They were simply reclassifying instances of the of ordinary flu, for example, as though they were COVID to generate the impression of a pandemic, where John Rappaport and Edward Hendry have been particularly good at exposing this. But then in 2021, once the introduction of the vax took place, deaths have simply skyrocketed. I mean, it's like a hockey stick on the side. Everything was perfectly normal through 2020. And then in 2021, it started to shoot up dramatically. We have all kinds of corroboration from this, including the recent release of Department of Defense records about, right. you know, members of the military and the categories in which more severe effects have taken place, which range from anywhere from a 400% increase to over a 1,000% increase. I mean, this is absolutely staggering data. Where Ron Johnson, whom I'm proud to say is my senator from Wisconsin during his COVID-19, a second opinion conference, produced a huge amount of evidence of what's going on here. But, Lori, think about it. In the past, if you had a handful of adverse effects, if a tiny number, the number you could count on the fingers of one hand, had died from some product, the FDA would have immediately right. withdrawn it from the market. They would have had a massive investigation. It would probably never be put back and available. But the CDC, the FDA, NIH, WHO all know these vaccines are causing massive damage and death on an unprecedented scale. I will predict right now that the number of deaths that they've already succeeded in bringing about is approximately 1 billion. 1 billion. Hopefully, if we can bring an end to this, it won't increase the number to 6 or 7, but there's no doubt that has been all along. Your thoughts?
Yes. Absolutely. When there's any kind of product, like a baby stroller or something, has a problem where there's 2 deaths, they issue an alert and a recall. It's so obvious there is no interest in helping people. And this all plays into what I'm saying about the Great Reset, because even Biden himself knows, and everybody, his handlers, whoever you want to call, know that this, at the beginning with the open borders, I'm thinking this is to provide cheap labor for the corporations. That's why Mitch McConnell is always fine with it. But this is beyond that. They're letting in 163 countries. They let in a terrorist, a guy who they didn't want to put in detention because he might get COVID, so they didn't let him. But it's fine to arrest the truckers, the leaders of the trucking thing, and put them in jail. But anyway, you can be a terrorist illegally getting into the United States, no jail. You can shoot up a mayoral office and get out on bail. But if you walk into the Capitol, you're in a D.C. gulag for 6 months. But anyway, that's an aside. But more than 6 months. But anyway, the vaccine deaths that are skyrocketing, they're going to need replacement workers. And that's what makes me think they know exactly what's going on with this vaccine. And people call it, you know, Biden is sort of like, I don't know, maybe he's just being the puppet and getting the blame. But people want to flood the United States to replace the pension people with Social Security and workers that are going to die from this vaccine, and they're going to need workers. And to me, because this is beyond just letting in cheap labor for corporations, this is way more than that. So obviously, to me, when these insurance companies are showing, you know, a 40% death increase from the year before, and that's just data, that's just math, then the powers that be know this, and they got to get other people in to replace the people. And I think this was a way, again, to enrich the oligarchy. This is what's going on. This is America can't stand with a spirit of freedom and independence, and they have to kill that spirit to implement the Great Reset. This is just what I'm thinking here. And in order to do that, they need they just need multiculturalism on steroids in the United States. They need all kinds of no patriotism here. And that's why they're snuffing out the patriots in the military, getting rid of them and the police and all that by doing the vaccine mandates. They didn't need to do that, but that got a lot of people, the top patriots, out of the police, out of the military, all this. Weaken the country, which is the goal of Biden anyway. Weaken the country, all right? That's why, another aside, when he announces Putin's going to evade tomorrow, the market drops 600 points, right? That hurts, you know, middle-class people with investments, you know, the IRAs and all that. It hurts everybody when that happens. The price of oil goes up. That hurts the United States. He doesn't need to announce that. He could just keep it to himself when he thinks Putin's going to invade and just prepare for it, right? But he announces it to weaken the United States, to hurt the markets, et cetera. But anyway, all this is pursuing towards the Great Reset and all this, and they know all these deaths. To me, in my mind, they know they're coming because they can see the data from the insurance companies of how many payouts there are and all this. And one last thing, if you remember this very important video last year of this woman who went into human resources of global gas and oil companies of staffing, and their own records said with it, anyone who vaccinated would be gone in 3 years. Their records, according to this very credible woman on a video, saying that human resources departments are preparing for replacing people in the oil and gas industry. That's one industry, but they know this. The powers that be know this. So to me, they know all these deaths are happening, and it's just to weaken the United States. More money for the oligarchy, and that's how I see it. Sadly, I wish I didn't see it like, I wish it wasn't true. I hope I'm wrong, but.
Well, Laura, you made a whole lot of very good points with one exception, namely, obviously, Biden is a puppet. It isn't even the real Joe from Delaware. It's a different guy. The last time the real Joe was seen would have been in 2017. This guy has a different shape and size of skull. He has a different handwriting. He has different color eyes. He has different ears. It's not the same guy. It's an actor. He is merely a puppet. Now, think about it. How was Kamala Harris selected to be the vice presidential nominee? It was not by the DNC. It was not by the Democratic Party. Alexander Soros, who is George Soros' son, announced that Kamala would be the VP. It's a Soros presidency. Once you understand George Soros, who's dedicated his life to destroying America, you can
That's
see
right.
why 57% of the American public do not agree with a single thing, not one thing Joe Biden has done. He's opened the border, bringing in this massive influx. He's created supply chain problems, massive inflation, made us energy dependent again, brought in all of these incredibly unqualified. You're right about the other points, using the vax to weaken the military. I believe they're going to bring these foreign nationals into the military and give them U.S. citizenship because they would be willing to fire on the American people and American soldiers would not.
You're right. That's a fantastic point. And you're right. There's been in the past, which most people would probably agree with without looking at it from your angle, which you're that's very smart what you said, that, you know, if you came in illegally and you served and fought in the Iraq war, you should get citizenship, whatever. Probably your average person back then, you know, 15 years ago would agree with that, say, well, that makes sense. You fight for the U.S., you get the citizenship. Even I thought that was okay. But now with this angle you're presenting, you're exactly right. That's exactly true. It's unbelievable. I mean, letting people off in the middle of the night, one guy killed a father of four in Florida and all this. It goes on. It must go on more than we even know about it. Just letting people off.
Lori, hold that thought. We'll be right back from the break with Lori Price from Citizens for Legitimate Government. Glad to have you here, Lori. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my featured guest today, Lori Price from Citizens for Legitimate Government. Lori, the Democrats have so much ground to make up when the polls are showing everyone hates everything they've done. You've even got the president now claiming we want to fund the police rather than defund the police. Too little, too late. Crime is absolutely surging as a consequence. They've never condemned all the rioting and the looting and the arson that was committed by Antifa and BLM, which, by the way, are George Soros-funded organizations. They've got the homeless problem along with soaring crime. And in San Francisco and other areas now, they're trying to encourage members of the community to take in homeless people. And as I was explaining just before you joined the show, a woman let a homeless man inside her home so he could shower, and then he slit her throat. A homeless man in Salt Lake City slit a woman's throat last week after she let him inside her residence to shower. The attack happened on Sunday, February 6th, inside the Good Samaritan's residence. Police responded to the home about 5 p.m. after the woman's neighbors found her bleeding profusely from the neck. Salt Lake City police said the victim told that she let the suspect inside so he could shower, describing him as being homeless. A February 12th news release said no additional information was being released at this time. Lori, I don't think they're going to be very successful with a program of bringing homeless into your home. I mean, it's an idea. To begin with, these homeless, many of them are drug addicts. Many have psychiatric problems. I mean, the idea of bringing one of these misfits into your home is simply ludicrous. But that's how far the Democrats are having to go to try to deal with the problems that they themselves created. Your thoughts?
this is insanity. And what you're saying, I mean, not what you're saying, the topic of what you're saying. I wonder how many homeless people Nancy Pelosi, worth hundreds of millions of dollars with a salary of $180,000. I wonder how it got to hundreds of millions. But anyway, her district, I wonder if she's letting people into the home. This is part of this, like you're saying, going back to exactly what you said before the break, George Soros and his son and his organization. So even if it's not him, George himself, it's the son and his directives of his agencies, are all trying to destroy the United States and have been. And this enrages me that if you criticize money that George Soros spends, you're called anti-Semitic, which is insane. George was a Nazi anyway, but this is ludicrous. It really, when you think about this, when you boil it down, it really does hinge on the district attorneys. And that's something, and he was smart enough, very smart, Soros, to think about the district attorneys. Because when you're voting in a local election, and let's say there's a district attorney there, you don't really, you meaning you in general, not you, Jim, but don't really think this is very important. But we see that he funds millions of dollars into getting these lunatics, they're just lunatics, installed as a district attorney who don't want to prosecute crimes. I mean, when you think about letting people out for, and they're preying on people's sympathies, they're making people think, this is what AOC pushes, another Soros or similar funded nut job who shouldn't have the job, but saying that homeless people are hungry because there's no child tax credit, so they had to steal baby formula or a loaf of bread, which 99% of the people would think if somebody's that poor, they need to get the formula or the loaf of bread, of course. But this is insane. They're preying on people's sympathies on that particular, notion, to allow people to think it's fine to let people out on bail who steal Prada handbags, go to Nordstrom and sell the purses and all that for drugs or whatever. And I read an article, somebody stole 96 times from Target, out on bail again. I mean, this is lunacy. This is to destroy the United States. And one final point on this. This is all folding into the Great Reset. Rich people will be able to afford private security and protect themselves. If you have a lot of money, you'll always be protected. This is really to hurt the middle class and the poor, all part of the destruction of the United States, all toward the Great Reset. And just one quick thing to add on that, somebody who's really written on that topic is Michael Rechtenwald and his essays. He spoke at Hillsdale College and all this about the Great Reset, and his essays on michaelrechtenwald.com. On the Great Reset, if you really want it. He spoke about all this before others did, just to add an aside. But anyway, this is all the goal, and I don't know. I hope these elections, I don't know how they're going to be rigged. I don't know how they're going to do this, but I really hope there's a great change in November. I don't know if it'll happen. It would be nice.
Oh, it's going to happen, have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, we have leaked emails showing a huge Epstein entourage omission over the infamous photo of Virginia Roberts with Prince Andrew. They had blocked out the fact that Maxine Gesslin Maxwell was right there in the background. It's absolutely shocking. A recently released email contains what many might consider to be a damning photo of Prince Andrew's, where she, on December 29th, was found guilty of various charges of complicity. She was soliciting young girls to become involved in sex acts with Jeffrey Epstein and other wealthy clients. Andrew has also been linked to Epstein and reached a settlement with Virginia Guffrey, now Guffrey, she's married, no longer Roberts, for some $27 million. Guffrey, then Roberts, claimed to have been trafficked by Epstein and Maxwell. According to her, it led to a rape at the hands of Andrew, a known associate. The damning photo was used in the recent civil case of Prince Andrew, showing Andrew with Guffrey, then known as Virginia Roberts. But Maxwell is featured in the image as well. And he took her out in a photograph that was, because then she was a witness. So what we've had show up is a separate photograph of Virginia Roberts that sort of stand alone. They're trying to imply that the photograph of Prince Andrew with her was photoshopped, but the opposite is the case. What they did was to take the damning photograph and extract the image of Virginia Roberts and then create a photoshopped image where she's got a fake right arm, which was behind Prince Andrew at the time, and in otherwise, you know, change the background. With this photoshopping can be done in various ways. Virginia Roberts was completely on the up and up, totally honest and ethical, and evidence that that is the case is confirmed by the Queen removing from the all the honors and privileges of a royal from Prince Andrew, who was always known as Randy Andy. In fact, back in 2015, Maxwell and Epstein former lawyer Alan Dershowitz, who in my opinion does not have clean hands here, shared an email correspondence regarding the image. In a message sent to Maxwell, Dershowitz wrote, "Dear G, do you know whether the photo of Andrew and Virginia is real? You are in the background." A mere 11 minutes later, Maxwell gave her determination. "It looks real. I think it is." Guthrie claimed only days prior that she had, for the first time, leveled accusations of rape against both Andrew and Dershowitz. Thanks to the recently reached settlement, however, it appears that Andrew has nothing left to worry about. Actually, while they're not announcing the amount of the settlement, initially estimated $12 million, actually, it turns out to have been $27 million. Lori, your thoughts?
I actually, while I believe they are using pedophilia and it's a huge issue, especially with these elites, and it's how they get the blackmailing going, and I believe Hunter had underage children on the laptop. That's why Hannity on the air said he heard it would be even illegal to possess the laptop. That implies child porn. He implied it. He didn't say it. But I actually don't actually, the Virginia Guffrey, I actually have questions on her credibility. It doesn't mean I'm questioning other aspects or that these people, you know, again, with the pedophile ring and Epstein and all that, who I think was murdered. But I actually question her credibility, you know, with that whole thing. But it doesn't mean that it didn't go on, you know, with others.
I'm taken aback on two grounds. I find Virginia Roberts completely credible, absolutely credible. And on the other hand, I also think Jeffrey Epstein was sprung from jail. He didn't die. That whole thing was staged.
Yes, he could have been. That could have been as well. I should have added that. Yes, absolutely. That absolutely could be true. I don't believe he
meanwhile, Lori, this despicable Rochelle Walensky, who's running the CDC and is a clear propagandist, right. We want to give people a break from mass so we can reinstate the mandates later. If and when we update our guidance, we will communicate that clearly. Here's an excerpt. Walensky, we are assessing the most important factors based on where we are in the pandemic and will soon put guidance in place that's relevant and encourages prevention measures when they're most needed to protect public health in our hospitals. Mark the date, 1 March. That's when the fake Biden is going to, during his State of the Union, announce that they're relieving us of these mandates. We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better and then have the ability to reach for them again should things worsen. And, of course, they can manipulate the statistics any way they want to make things look better or make things look worse. If and when we update our guidance, we will communicate that clearly, and it will be based on the data and the science, which is absurd. Nothing they have done in the past has been based on real data or real science. I mean, it's just insulting beyond belief. Lori, your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. And she's despicable, along with, Randy, I can't think of her last name, the teachers union, who was responsible for destroying so many children's lives. The teachers union president who, through emails, it was shown pressured to keep the masks on. It's unbelievable. Her and this other one, Walensky, who detestable, you know, these COVID pimps or whatever you want to call them. Yes, it's obvious. So what they can do is this. It either can go one or two ways. They're either going to get more lockdowns and masks before the election, saying they need to mail in votes by manipulating flu data or some other, you know, disease or virus from the people that are dying from the vaccine in reality, or they'll wait till after. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but yes, it's all manipulatable. They lie, and they have big media. Big tech complicit with the media that you cannot say anything. They mark anything as fake news. And by the way, Facebook now is going to mark fake news on economic issues, not just the vaccine and all that. That's a new thing with Facebook on economic. If you talk about inflation and you give the wrong information on inflation, they're going to mark it as fake news. Can you believe that? That's to help Biden. Can you imagine?
Oh, Lori, it's when they give the right information about inflation, they're going to mark it as fake news.
Right. I meant in their eyes, but yes, exactly. But this is crazy because they can say anything about the data because more of the vaccinated are dying. And I get the heart. Remember, I've on your program previously spoken about the worst rag in the United States, which is the Hartford Current, how they lie. It's unbelievable. But, in fact, the vaccinated are dying in greater numbers. And in many countries, the vaccinated are getting deaths, dying from COVID. But if you say that on social media, you're marked as giving out false information, even though the data is right there. You know, so yes, they will manipulate anything. I don't know if they'll do it before the election or after. I don't know what your opinion is on that. But yes, it's so they can bring it back. They can bring it back. The
they're going to use the state, Lori. It's obvious they're going to use the State of the Union. He's going to present himself as the man who vanquished the virus.
It's hysterical.
Hero. It's like Obama claiming to have got Osama, who actually had died 10 years earlier.
Right.
So he could pose as the man who got the most wanted man in the world for a triumphal reelection. That's what's going on here.
Yes,
Project Veritas, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, no, about Osama, I just want to add one little thing. I have on CLG, which was in the mainstream media when Bin Forgotten died of kidney disease in December 2001. I have the funeral announcements in Arabic and all that on the site, legitgov.org, right? That's my website. Anyway, this was commonly reported in mainstream news in December 2001. Then suddenly, Obama, the fraud, kills a fake Osama. He was literally right under the nose of the NSA. It makes me crazy. I don't know who they killed that day, but it was not Osama bin Laden, who died in December 2001. Okay? The funeral announcement's all announced. So like you're saying, he's a total lie, like everything else, but go ahead.
I can't tell you how many reports I've done on exactly that point. Yeah.
Right,
Osama bin Laden was our man in Afghanistan. He was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen. They used to drive out, shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes and drive the Soviet Union out of Afghanistan. He was an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osmond. He was even visited by an official of the agency at a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan. As you report, Lori, there were local obituaries. He was buried in an unmarked grave. In accordance with Muslim tradition, he died on 15 December 2001. Yeah. Even Fox News and CNN reported on December 26 that Osama bin Laden was dead. But it had to be buried in order for Obama to resurrect him and kill him again at the fake raid on the compound in Pakistan. You're absolutely right, Lori. Meanwhile,
exactly.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying exactly on that, and it was reported. And, you know, one comment on the recent withdrawal / surrender of Afghanistan, I know he's taking all the blame and all that, and it's true, but what I just want to say is I think this is purposeful. It seems like the U.S. government has replaced, when you look historically, in many of these countries, their governments, with an oppressive Islamic regime is fine and compatible with U.S. corporatism. Saudi Arabia, you know, the CIA brought Wahhabism in the 1970s to Saudi Arabia. It didn't used to be the terrorist state it is now. We never hear about it. No freedoms. Talk about no rights, no freedoms, no democracy there. It seems the U.S., and even though, you know, Saddam Hussein had problems, you know, as a leader, he kept things. There were no suicide bombings. He kept, the, you know, all groups, all balanced. Assad appreciates Christianity, doesn't have a problem with it. It seems any place there's some kind of freedom of religion, deep down the U.S. is happy with an Islamic dictatorship, just like Saudi Arabia, now Afghanistan, now, you know, all these countries. That's what we really wanted in Syria. That's why the U.S. and Israel funded Mossad. ISIS. Israel was fine with ISIS leaders and all that. I'm just saying, when you look in the history, the U.S. is fine with these Islamic dictatorships because there's no freedom and no rights. And that's what, so now the Taliban, with the weapons and arms and money the U.S. has given, the Taliban will be able to keep control of that country. So I just wonder how much of a, quote, mistake it was. It seems like that was the goal. But go ahead.
Oh, I think that's very reasonable. Well, we can't overlook that the Sandy Hook court settlement has gun rights supporters furious. The settlement led to an award of $73 million by the insurance companies when it was at $33 million. I published on my blog that this was a $33 million insurance scam. There's no doubt about it, except it's grown now to 73.
Right.
This is an out-of-court settlement, but it's still a really bad development for the gun industry as a whole. Expect these sorts of lawsuits to ramp up after this. A federal law, the Protection and Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, protects gun manufacturers from liability regarding the misconduct. This case, with Donna Soto versus Remington as the lead plaintiff, tested the extent of the 2006 law's protection. The National Shooting Sports Foundation is taking aim at this settlement, which will pave the way for new progressive lawfare attacks on gun rights. Legislative attempts at gun control have ended as flops for both Joe Biden and Barack Obama, with the latter expending considerable political capital on the issue, no doubt about it. This is a threat to every law-abiding gun owner in the country. Falsely claiming firearm manufacturers are responsible for violence instead of the criminals is a slippery slope to ban guns and unconstitutional restrictions. Now, I've been making this point for years. Ever since I published Nobody Died at Sandy Hook with 13 contributors, including six current and retired PhD professors, and we established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no teachers or students present, that it was a two-day FEMA exercise where we even found the FEMA manual and included it as Appendix A. I've been making the point that this whole thing was a rigged event to present a FEMA exercise as mass murder to promote gun control. When I published in 2015, Amazon banned the book less than a month later, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies, and I released it for free as a PDF. In order to staunch the flow, where some 10 million copies were downloaded in the meanwhile, I was hit with a fabricated lawsuit claiming that I had committed defamation by declaring a death certificate that had been given by one of the purported Sandy Hook parents, Leonard Posner, to a research colleague of mine, Kelly Watt, was fake. When it had no file number, it had no town certification, it had no state certification. It turns out under Connecticut law, not even parents are allowed to have an uncertified death certificate. I was sued over this, which I was glad to do because I thought that I would respond by presenting all the evidence I had that nobody died at Sandy Hook, and there's a mass of it. And I thought that was going to happen until the scheduling conference when the judge handling the case declared that he understood my views about this, that it hadn't happened, but that he ruled that it was not relevant to the accuracy or the truth of the death certificate, even though, Lori, the death certificate declares that the decedent, one Noah Posner, died at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. He would not allow me to introduce that mass of evidence. So he focused only on the death certificate. I had two forensic document examiners' reports in the record where they declared that it was fake, supporting me. Nevertheless, the judge claimed he followed along and he bought the explanation of the plaintiff's attorney and ruled against me, even though the dispute, the basic document was in dispute and it had to be sent to a jury, even though I have massive credentials as a journalist, even though I had edited the book, even though the three of the sentences were in chapters from the book that I had edited and another in a blog, he never even ruled that I was a journalist. They never found I'd done anything wrong. So I was found liable without fault, which is a blunder. And yet the appellate court, when I appealed, simply reiterated the official Sandy Hook narrative as though it should be taken for granted, when there has never been a judicial determination of whether anybody died at Sandy Hook. My case was the one that came the closest. All the others have been settled on procedural or status grounds. None of them have reached the issue where I've sought to intervene in that very case. And both, get this, Lori, both the plaintiffs and the defendant Remington opposed my intervening in this, in the Soto versus Remington case, even though my point was elementary. Namely, we needed a determination of whether anybody had died at Sandy Hook. And get this, Lori, the woman who played the role of Donna Soto, the mother of a Sandy Hook teacher, Victoria Soto, in Connecticut, also played the role of Susan Bro, purportedly the mother of Heather Heyer, who died in Charlottesville during that car crash, which was also staged. I mean, it's unbelievable. Let me just say that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has now denied my petition to clean up this mess. I need to take my case to the Supreme Court of the United States. I have the evidence. I have the law on my side, and I have attorneys, but I don't have the funds to pay them. I've opened a new campaign defending the First and the Second Amendment at Give, Send, Go. So anyone who believes in the First and the Second Amendment, I have an extensive statement there about the whole case, lots of links to the evidence. Go to givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer, but do not add a slash at the end. Just givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer and ask yourself whether it's worth throwing a few bucks into the pot for me to pay the attorneys to carry this case forward. It's stunning, and it represents a major threat to both our First and our Second Amendment, because if that precedent is allowed to stand, then any judge using summary judgment can make up any outcome he wants. He can manufacture the facts. Even though summary judgment is only appropriate, as even first-year law students know, if there are no disputed facts, obviously the authenticity of the death certificate was in dispute. This is completely outrageous. So please, I appeal, givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. Give this some thought. We'll be right back after the break with Lori Price, and we'll take your calls.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio.
Yeah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special featured guest today, Lori Price from Citizens for Legitimate Government. We have a caller on the line I'm about to bring in, but let me remind you the number, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Our first caller, Christine, is here on the line. Christine, just tell us your state and join the conversation.
Hello, this is Christine Korda. I'm from Hamden, Connecticut, and I have a show on Monday at 4 p.m., the Christine Korda Show. How are you both? So nice to connect.
Very, very good, Christine. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I wanted to say one thing first, Jim, really quickly. I wanted to say thank you, and I was in the chat, and I was telling everyone that years ago, I don't want to tell how old I am, but it was a while ago, I would read about you, and I saw you on I can't think of the name. It was an old chat site that when you had forums, you would go and it would run the chats, and you were torn to pieces. You maintained the truth about Sandy Hook in such a way that you impressed me to start searching for things both in my personal life and in my public existence, if you will. I became very aware of the way things were going, both in the Board of Education, local politics, and of course in Maine, the government. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I don't think you get thanked enough, and you really do have such an influence and such a power over public opinion in such a good way. So that's what I want to say. And also, I would like to comment on a couple things. There's the mask mandates. You guys were talking about that Sippy Cup is going to come out and say, oh, I'm a hero, I'm going to stop it. But then they're going to come back and they're going to say, oh, we have to do it again because it's for your safety. Now, I follow a group, and I think they were on your show. I'm not sure. I know that they were on Revolution Radio. It's called the Constitutional Law Group, and you can find them at www.constitutionallawgroup.us. Or just Google the Constitutional Law Group. And on Valentine's Day, a few days ago, they had a nationwide call to file indictments for your country, your county prosecutor to file a mass tort claim in the name of We the People and expose the crimes against humanity. And you can file anonymously. You have to fill out the form, the Valentine's Day formal criminal complaint, and then you file it. And they have step-by-step instructions, and it got such a successful file rate that they have called on people to do more. Also, I would like you to speak on the I believe I'm pronouncing it right, surety bonds of the Board of Education members. Now, I saw a video of this man, or this woman went in, and she filed against the bonds of the Board of Education members. It was like the cockroaches had the light turned on. They all vanished out of the room. It was a Board of Education meeting. And she came up very simply and said, you have signed an oath. These people are our servants. We are not their servants. They have agreed to an oath to protect our civil rights, to protect our human rights. And what they're doing is beyond crimes against humanity. It's beyond it. So can you speak on filing against their surety bonds, going to the local Board of Education meetings, the local politicians, and saying, look, enough is enough. It's done. I think we have a lot more power as citizens than if we started a war or we started, getting violent.
Well, Christine, I think you're making a series of really powerful points, and I so appreciate, especially coming from the state of Connecticut, your observation about my efforts.
I guess you do.
To expose the truth about Sandy Hook, because it's been a thankless task, I'll tell you. It's run up. I have received support from the public, and I've been able to pay off like $35,000 of my legal views, but I still owe $55,000. And to carry this to the Supreme Court is going to run somewhere between 12 and 25 more. It's indispensable this be carried to the Supreme Court, because even if the court declines to review my case, every submission to the Supreme Court becomes a subject of study by law schools all over the country. And to see that the Wisconsin Supreme Court denied what a first-year law student would have called out as an absurd abuse of the role of summary judgment by a circuit court judge in Dane County, excluding expert opinions that were substantiated, not allowing a defendant to present his defense, which was then compounded by the appellate court, treating it as though that people had died at Sandy Hook were a given, when it's never been determined by any judicial process whether anyone died at Sandy Hook, is going to be a profound embarrassment for the Wisconsin court. And let me add, I hate to say it, but our court's unusual. It has 6 women and 1 man, which shows that women can be just as corrupt in high position when they have responsibility as men. So I'm very grateful for your comments there. Lori can probably add more, too, about the surety bond. You're making a point. These schools have insurance policies, and I'm quite confident they do not allow the schools to dictate medical procedures for students, especially emergency. Go ahead, Christine.
I was waiting for Lori to
Okay, I'll bring in Lori. Yeah, go, Lori. Go, Lori.
I thought you forgot about me. No, I just have a quick comment on the entire last segment, and then you went to commercial break, just quickly on Sandy Hoax. What's interesting is I don't think we'll ever see the day where a court case actually takes place, because then you would be allowed to present discovery. And when they show the cops eating pizza at the, quote, crime scene, unquote, hundreds of other, half the vehicles that day at the school were black SUVs, meaning government, and then you could present the math showing that on a normal school parking lot, there's like 1 or 2 black SUVs instead of half of them being SUVs. But anyway, I'm just adding that point that I don't think these things will ever go to court. And it would be great, as Christine was saying, and you were saying, for this to go to the Supreme Court, because it would be then, even if it's denied, studied. It is absolutely outrageous, and it should go to the court. Surety bonds are an interesting point that I never heard of. I just want to just say that that's a great point.
Let me add, Lori, that I had counterclaims against the purported parents for, theft and theft by deception, because they've got this staggering amount of donations from the public on false pretense that they'd lost children at Sandy Hook, and a fraud upon the court, because the guy who came here and alleged to be Leonard Posner, I was convinced is not Leonard Posner. He was at least 20 years younger and 100 pounds lighter. I made that an issue and sought to pursue it. The judge bifurcated the case and denied me the opportunity for discovery on my counterclaims, which normally would have been allowed to go forward. But he wanted to make sure that I couldn't produce any evidence that would contradict the finding he was going to issue, where, you know, I think any reasonable person can see that this was a predetermined outcome in the court, that they were not going to allow me in any way, shape, or form to present evidence that would upset the official narrative.
Yeah, so, you could also show.
I want you to stay on the line, Christine, and of course, Lori. We have Brew from Chicago here. Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah, hello, Lori and caller, welcome. So, you guys recall when we used to talk about, was shared in the past, that regarding life insurance policies, that anybody that has basically accepted the jab, got the jab, you know, whether it be one dose, doesn't matter where they got the jab, that in the fine print of these life insurance policies, or maybe even health insurance or any other type of paperwork that people contract to, that in the fine print it says, if you engage in any, engage in, participate, volunteer for, doesn't matter, as long as you're part of a experimental drug trial of any sort, your policy would be null and void. Do you recall this?
Yeah. You're absolutely right, and the insurance companies are going to have to start invoking that, because there's been a huge surge in life insurance claims, and it's just absolutely staggering what's going on here.
Here's some new information that I do not have all the facts for, but I was listening to John Moore this morning, and I caught it, and I loosely caught it. So these are loose facts, okay, that I'm sharing. But allegedly, if I heard it correctly, that a family went to claim life insurance for their loved one who had passed away, and the loved one had the jab. Well, it went to court because their life insurance or their company wasn't paying out. It went to court, and the judge ruled that essentially the loved one committed suicide. What? What do you mean? Well, according to the judge, that now that people have been releasing, whether it be the CDC, the NIH, media sources, so on and so forth, releasing information that those that take the jab have been passing away, perishing, getting illness, so on and so forth, because it is now public information, this stuff being published, that they should have known or knowingly took the jab, knowing this could have happened to them, therefore they committed suicide, therefore there is no payout. You'll have to look this up.
What are they going to do with when that comes against the other capitalists?
A mandate, whoever's talking, mandate is not a law. They can't force you, coerce you, whatever, but you have to accept it. They can influence you, coerce you, whatever, but it's ultimately up to you, and that's what they're going to use against us.
Wow.
They're already using it against us. Oh, well, you didn't have to, but you told me I had to keep my job. Well, you know, but you didn't have to.
Well, obviously, this is going to be a matter for arbitration in the courts. This will eventually go up to the Supreme Court, I have no serious doubt. Christine, your comments, and then Lori's. Christine.
Yes, it is true. I read that as well. I'm not sure if they scrubbed it. They might have scrubbed it, but it was an Italian man, and his family went to cash in on the life insurance, and they said, no, enough evidence is out to show that the shot is experimental and people are dying. They said it was like he committed suicide, which they do not cover. It's reprehensible. I mean, these people are dirty bastards. Excuse my language. But we need to come. We need to fight back. I was constantly called a conspiracy theorist because of the things that I talk about. And now people are looking at me and saying, wow, that was really true, wasn't it? Yes, it's all true. They are Satanists. They're pedophiles. They do things to children that you can't imagine. I have a show on Monday from 4 to 6. You're welcome to come on it. You're welcome to listen. We have to fight back. I haven't slept in a year off and on. I'm so stressed. We have to fight. Sorry.
Christine, to have me come on your show, I would love to do that, okay? I would love to do it.
That would be so great. Anytime.
Count on me, yeah.
That would be great.
You can send me an email to set it up. The good address is jim@moonrockbooks.com. jim@moonrockbooks.com. Lori.
That is with Caller Blue. Yes, that would be great to see you on her show, too. That would definitely be, I'd love to hear that as well. As to the Caller Blue, what he was saying, just in general, and it is true what he's saying, a mandate is not a law, and I understand that. But what's going to be interesting in the broader sense is these aspects of it. It's not free market capitalism. It's really socialism with Chinese characteristics. It's really just, a predatory, capitalism. It's not pure free market capitalism. It's state intervention on capitalism. But what's going to happen is all these aspects of this are going to bump into each other at some point, because people, even though it is true, a mandate's not a law, but people are going to say, I never wanted, they're going to provide proof showing how they told people in statements that they didn't want the vaccine and they're going to be fired. And that's going to be a tough one. But the people are going to lose, sadly, I think. But, cause like you're saying, they will rule that it's not a law. So sadly, I don't think it's going to end well for the consumer, the population as usual, usually the case.
Isn't it extortion? Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, Christine, go ahead.
Just one question you can all comment on. Isn't it extortion if you don't get a shot that's not approved, we're going to fire you? That's extortion.
Yes, I believe it is. Yes, and it's certainly not voluntary consent, because they're not informing the public of the risks involved or of the alternative non-invasive like HCQ and ivermectin. I've taken both.
They, in fact, block those and even knowledge of it on social media. So the person, like Blue was saying about in the court case, could say, what are you talking about? Any posts were removed regarding ivermectin and all that. And also the vaccines they did approve are not the ones that they're distributing. Okay, that's another issue, as you know.
Well, Lori, they had to denigrate and demonize HCQ and ivermectin, because if there were readily available alternative treatments, they could not grant emergency use authorization.
Right. Exactly.
And you begin to see how profoundly corrupt is the FDA and the CDC. They are essentially the marketing arm of Big Pharma.
Oh, yeah.
And in a story we didn't quite reach, for a multiplicity of reasons, Project Veritas has exposed one of the representatives of the FDA talking about how they're going to approve these child vaccines, and that the agenda is to make it an annual requirement to get money into Big Pharma pop. In other words, it's all for profit. It's got nothing to do with health. It's all for profit, money, and control. He was admitting it. Project Veritas has been doing a sensational job of exposing a lot of this corruption. Blue, you have your thoughts.
I don't know, the human race, for the most part, especially in Western nations, has been corrupted. We have mass mental illness, indoctrination, and ideology that's so twisted that it makes no sense. Like I watched on a YouTube video, a Twitter post where they recorded a lady on a plane. She wouldn't sit next to a man who was wearing a mask, but she wouldn't sit next to a man because he wasn't vaccinated. She asked him for his vaccination card. He said, no, I won't give you a vaccination card. She immediately stood up and said, he won't give me his vaccination card. That means he's not vaccinated. I am not going to sit next to him. And he was wearing a mask. She was not. And then the guy goes, you're not even wearing a mask, lady. And she goes, well, I don't have to wear a mask because I have asthma. But I've gotten vaccinated, I've gotten double jabbed, and I did this to protect my children, but now he's putting my life in danger because he doesn't have the vaccine. She's yelling at the stewardess. Finally, that one of the pilots came up and said, lady, I'm not discriminating against anybody on my plane about vaccination, unvaccination, whatnot. They are welcome to be here. We don't do that discrimination here. But you, on the other hand, do you have a problem with it? You may leave, exit my plane. And they actually dragged her out. So it's an extreme mental illness is what's going on. And it is extortion, like Lori says. It's coercion, extortion, and so forth. You can't be a part of the cheerleading squad. You can't be on the football team. You can't do this. Or how about this? And that's just for the school and college levels, whatever. Then you go to the judge level, oh, you can't see your children unless you're vaccinated. You cannot, you don't want to go to jail? Well, we'll let you off going to jail. We'll give you probation if you get vaccinated. They're using this as coercion to mandate. So judges are now they're making judges think they're medical doctors, that they can actually recommend a procedure, which is this is a procedure, it's a medical procedure, that they can recommend that somebody should have a medical procedure. It is not up to a judge to do this. They have no medical degree. They barely have law degrees. And then, of course, where's the money? Where's their loyalties? Klaus Schwab, WEF, New World Order, the Great Reset. All these people are on board with their twisted ideology. And, of course, greed, money. It's as simple as a paycheck. They don't believe in nothing but the almighty spending of their bank account. So where are
you? You're making excellent points. Just a terrific series of comments. Paul is standing by to work a word in edgewise. Paul, join the conversation.
Yes, thanks. I really enjoyed the last half hour. A lot of good back and forth and contributions. Christine made a great point early on when she said that we really do have, you know, the power or a lot of power, words to that effect. And, you know, this is the most frustrating thing to me is I know she's exactly correct. You know, nobody has to obey any of these mandates. They're meaningless. But the problem is most people are cowards. And so they basically force the rest of us into this tyranny because we all know these political leaders don't have anything. And the bottom line is this, it's unfortunate, but it's always going to come down to a fairly small group of strong, independent men that are going to have to reverse this thing. Because out here where I'm at in California, I still see compliance everywhere. Oh. The vast majority of the time I go somewhere, I'm about the only one not wearing a mask. And so it's just like Bruce said about this kind of psychosis we're involved in. And by the way, when somebody said extortion, you know, it's actually fraudulent coercion. It is actionable under the civil codes, and that's what's going to come down to because it's the businesses and the corporations are doing this. Nobody in the government has made me do anything. So I've made this point over and over to business managers and owners, okay? It's always them. It's them. It's not the government. It's not the health officer. I've had the police called on me 3 different times over the last 2 years. And they don't make me do anything. The one cop just goes, well, they said they don't want you to come in anymore. I said, okay, fine. I'll probably go there the next day or two. And they left. Anyway.
Paul, that's all excellent. We have another caller, Jeff from Cleveland. Jeff, join the conversation. Jeff, are you there? Christine, give us your thoughts then here in response to what we've heard from Brew and Paul.
Well, Paul makes a good point, and I tell my listeners, I say, the meek shall inherit the earth, but the cowards are going to inherit nothing. And, you know, people say, well, we're going to pray, and God's going to take care of you, Jesus is going to take care of you. We have to fight back. We don't have to yell or scream or go crazy like the Lulu bin on the plane. You know, that's what they want. But no, I'm sorry. I go into the store and I use the word Nazi a lot in a polite way, but I don't wear the mask. And I find solidarity with the one other person out of 40 that doesn't have a mask on either. But it can be done. No, I'm sorry. I can't wear a mask. I'm so sorry you feel uncomfortable. I can't breathe. I'm a fat woman. It's very hard for me with my asthma. Please understand and just be nice to people. And most people do understand. Most people are not. You see, the way that they use the media to you know, they put these little news snippets out of, oh, masked and unmasked got in a big fight. In our minds, we say, oh, I don't want that to happen. That'll ruin my day. I might get arrested. They know how to do the MK Ultra stuff. Sorry, that's conspiracy. I know. They know how to use that to their advantage to scare us, make us feel proud and politically correct, like we're heroes, victims, and how to make us fight with each other and then how to make us be cowardly. It's very, very intricate, the way that they do things.
Christine, remember, conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes that the government doesn't want to be exposed, which is why they try to silence us. Yes,
I know.
Lori, your further thoughts, Lori.
Oh, yes, it's funny. Like they say, one conspiracy theory, like 6 months later, it's a fact and it's bad news. By the way, I just want to, before you go, because I know it's near the top of the hour, I just want to give the name of my website, legitgov.org, and you could subscribe to the newsletter for free just by clicking, going there and click the sign up button and click that. An email will pop up with, you know, you add your address and you're on your way. I just want to add that, but thank you. And yes, it could, these conspiracy theories, you know, I'm beginning to think they're just out to kill us at this point. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you do an overview of everything with the making cigarette smoking chic, everything in chemotherapy, which, you know, they could cure cancer and probably ivermectin does, all this stuff, I'm beginning to think from this pattern of just years and decades that they just want to kill us. But there you have it.
Yeah, that's that. It's mass murder for fun and profit.
It is.
You got it exactly right. Let me go back to Paul for a final thought from Paul. Paul, yours.
I'm good. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, Brew, any final word, Brew?
No, mostly just keep your head on a swivel, and Lori, glad to have you back and all that stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
We are, you know, again, I emphasize on the mental illness. The mental illness is strong, and people are just totally, you know, indoctrinated. They believe what they believe. Like, I was talking to somebody last night, and they're like, all the truckers in Canada, they're blocking the borders, and they're not letting supplies in, which is untrue. It's the RCMP and the paid mercenaries. And by the way, recognize that they have paid foreign mercenaries on their soil doing the dirty work. That's why they're wearing all the stormtrooper masks and they won't show their faces and so on and so forth, because they are, and people have actually heard other languages coming out of these people's mouths when they decide to speak.
The southern U.S. border is wide open and nobody ever mentions it, but yes, exactly what you're saying. Unbelievable.
All right.
Wonderful, wonderful calls, Paul, Brew, Lori. Just a delight to have you here, Christine. Wonderful you called in. And as I say, I'd be delighted to come on your show.
Great.
Everyone, let me just observe, I'm in the fight of my life. This matters to the First and the Second Amendment. Check out my blog, Defending the First and the Second Amendment. And if you're so disposed, check out givesandgo.com/fundingfetzer. I would welcome your support. This is, in many ways, for all the marbles, I'm in a unique position to do something about this, but I need your help. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. We'll be have a great weekend. And as I've been observing, spend as much time as you can with your friends, family, and loved ones, because we do not know how much time we have left.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle,
the perfect triangle
with
perfect
Giuseppe triangle, perfect from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.